Welcome, episode 2 of the, what I've been calling the new season, of RTR Podcast. I am LBJ.
I am the Birdman. What's up, everybody?
We got back on a roll and then a wheel fell off. I got sick and I was completely gone for a week.
Hey, before we go on, let's thank Tony Schiavone for that opener for us on the first episode back.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty legit that he did that.
Yeah.
Some of you people might think, oh, how much did you guys pay? Nope. I caught Tony at the perfect time in between him just doing his own thing with his podcast starting up. And this was way before AEW, and we just been sitting on it, trying to find the right time to use it.
He's just a nice dude, and like you blew my mind when you sent me that clip originally.
The voice of our childhood.
Yeah, no doubt.
Fucking Slap Dick Nation right what? There. See, you don't understand that because you don't listen to his podcast.
I need to get back on it.
It's pretty great. So everybody check out What Happened When.
All right. So we're going to just crack on and get into everything. For the last week and a half, essentially 2 weeks, basically. Last time we talked, AEW was about to begin, and now we're 2 episodes in with the 3rd episode getting ready tonight. I know this isn't going to be on right now, but you'll at least know now our time of recording.
When you hear this,
yeah,
it'll already be happening.
Yep. So, I'll just go ahead and get this one out of the way real quick. Real quick question. We're 2 weeks in now. Not about the ratings. Who do you think has put on a better show for the last 2 weeks?
AEW. And my reasoning is because of stage production, lighting. Their lighting is top-notch. Me and you have similar takeaways and gives and everything else, but if the rumor mill is true, and hopefully it is for the sake of NXT, if they go, like, start traveling and start getting smaller arenas like AEW is doing, I think they're a contender, they're a competitor for the wars now, so-called wars, as I use quotation marks. But if they start traveling and using that WWE money for lighting, I think the two wouldn't be as far and in between from each other.
I'm kind of with you on that.
If they would use a takeover presence at weekly NXT, like stage-wise and stuff, mm-hmm. I think it'd be a lot better of a presence. Not saying their product sucks, just their presence, their presentation's not the greatest.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. I think very much the same. Like, I hate to say it because, like, okay, you remember Impact Wrestling.
Yeah.
Or not, well, not, do you TNA. Remember Impact? TNA. You remember when they just stayed at Florida?
Yeah.
And they had the 2 entrance ramps?
Kind of like how you did, well, yeah. Like the heel and
they had different, they had different tunnels. I didn't mind that. Every single week, that was fine to me, and it didn't feel small like NXT does. I don't know the actual capacity. I'm not gonna insinuate that I think TNA was bigger than what NXT is, but the way the layout and the lighting is makes NXT feel smaller and more intimate, which that's its own vibe and that's its feel, and I get it, but now that it moved to USA, we need to pull back the lights. We need to show the faces. We need to show the crowd into it rather than just the chant. Your advertisements all the time on USA Network is the crowd. NXT. Yeah, but then when I watch your show, I see 3 rows of people.
They're more.
I know I'm being it's more than that, but you know what I'm saying.
And NXT is more of a hometown, a homegrown fan base.
Well, I mean, TNA got that a little bit, too. There was regulars.
TNA
that came.
Never really traveled from place to place, did they? Because they were... They
not
were,
until the... Not until really the Bischoff years. Like, they'd do some like little shows here and there.
After that, they were based in Nashville.
Yeah.
Then it was Las Vegas. Now it's Canada. Yeah, because they were doing it at the Samtown Casino when they were first on Pop.
Yeah, but...
Pursuit.
But, before that, like, you're talking, like, when it was classic TNA days, it was just Universal Studios.
Yeah.
And they stayed really pretty much there. They would go on tour and do shows other places, but
like
I think...
live events?
Yeah, but I think their actual shows
that's what
always
I mean.
Were in the one area.
Because you never really seen... Like, now, I don't see Impact Live shows being advertised.
Whenever they go to do shows, if they're not just a part of a house show, it's very small.
Because everybody
or saying, it's for a real special event. Like, they did it over WrestleMania weekend.
Yeah.
But that looked... The production-wise, it wasn't the best, but that was the whole point. It was a different feel.
But, like, what I mean when I'm talking to people, they said, yeah, we've seen these people, where they were doing an Impact show here. Like, they act like they used to come here all the time around our area.
Moundsville.
And I never heard anything about this, which, I mean...
Morgantown.
See, I never heard anything about this.
They were at, like, a conference center next to a hotel,
Was it the Water Place?
Yeah.
Waterfront, I mean?
Yeah. They did a few... I think they might have done 3 shows there, and they did 2 in Moundsville. I saw one in Moundsville there.
See, I never heard anything about this.
But
it may have been when I was younger and couldn't go to shows.
I think the most notable thing that ever happened to any of them was one that the professor attended when the Wolves won the tag team titles.
Oh, okay.
And other than that, it... Not much happened. They were just pretty much like house shows.
Oh, see, I mean, I still wouldn't mind going.
I got a picture with Kurt Angle.
See, everybody said they met Kurt Angle. They've met Jeff Hardy. I'm thinking, where the hell was I?
Yeah. I have. I'll have to share them up on the page. You're gonna laugh because I was bald.
You were bald.
Yeah. I had no facial hair.
Was this in between emo days or before emo days?
Before.
Wow.
I was bald and
then
I
went
had,
straight emo.
I was bald and had no facial hair. I was clean everywhere. I have pictures with Sabin and Kazarian, who had hair at the time. Matt Morgan, Kurt Angle.
I can't imagine a bald BJ beside Matt Morgan, the blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird time, man. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll be something on the page this weekend. We'll post all your pictures that you have with wrestlers. And
all mine are with Deathmatch guys, though.
What? They're still on there, man. Put them on there. That's going to be the thread. We're gonna make that a thread this weekend. So
okay. You
guys are probably going to hear this, reasonably speaking, on Friday. So
we'll just post it up Friday evening.
Friday evening, Saturday morning.
Yeah.
One of those two. But that's going to be the big weekend focus, I think. Until Bound for Glory,
of course. So if you guys are hearing this and you're not on the Facebook page... It's facebook.com/runtheropes.
We also have a like page, and you should like it because I'm starting to get some stuff synced up to where whenever we post outside of the group. So,
yes.
Like, when we're making ads. When we're making posts for the podcast. When we're making posts for, hey, come here and check this out for threads. When I'm doing stuff for 2K and everything, I'm going to try to make it so that they all go everywhere at once. And if you don't use Instagram and if you don't use Twitter,
yeah. It's
going to hit there first. And then be shared into the group. But you need to do both, because the group is where all of our discussion threads are, and you get things like the, you know, post pictures with your with the wrestlers that you've had or you've met and that kind of stuff. And dialogue, obviously.
Yeah.
The other is content that is not just more intimate. So check that out too. Give us a like there as well. On to everything else. So we've talked about the AEW NXT, which we thought was better. Now, I want to get critical of those two real quick. NXT, week 2 of the war, end quote, fell flat to me. Not because it wasn't good wrestling, but because you had a takeover quality show. The week 1.
Is this the one with all the title matches?
Yes, and then Finn and Ciampa and all that. And then week 2 felt kind of weak because you fluffed up your show so heavy.
You blew your wad early.
AEW has been consistent. The thing that I will say about them is most of their matches have been announced like weeks ahead of time. Maybe that's a reason why I like them more, is because I can get invested longer ahead. Even the one with Darby, This show was advertised for people who were buying tickets and stuff as Jericho's first title defense and the women's first title defense. So it didn't matter who won, they were defending the title. You knew you were getting title matches. Now you get it against Darby Allin, which, hey, that's different. Jericho and Darby?
Yeah.
That's unexpected. And now it's a Philly street fight, so it's like, all right, now all kinds of shenanigans can happen. So
the only thing I take away from AEW is I've seen a lot of people talk about it. It's just, but it's building storylines, all the ending battles at the end of the show where the whole damn locker room basically fills up the ring.
That's your criticism of it?
Yeah, just
well, now I want to explain something. And I'll tell you this, cuz I had a conversation. I'm not trying to just justify and say that it's good that they've done this. I agree with you that, all right, it's happened for 2 weeks. If it happens the next 2 weeks, all right, we need to not do that, right?
Yeah.
But I had a conversation with someone who has not watched wrestling since WCW.
Oh my God, where's this person been?
They loved it on TNT. They hated WWF. So they refuse to watch it. They have felt like these last two shows,
yeah,
had new stuff that they could appreciate, even if they were like, that guy's kind of small. But it felt bigger and reminded them of older times. And they even said, you'd have the old days where the WCW guys and the NWO guys would fight each other at the end, and it was this big hype up thing. He's like, and it felt like that. And that's when it clicked with me that that's why this is here. Now, should it continue every week? No. My God, no. But I don't mind it on these first initial ones. But like I said, if it's by episode 4 and 5 and we've still got it, we got to straighten it up, you know? But that is my big critique, too, actually, AEW.
You don't want to see it at 5?
No.
That's where we'll be.
Well, I don't want to see a big rundown at the end, no. I want the end of 5 to be the crowning of the new tag team champions. I think that deserves to be the thing that ends the show.
Which I'm so pumped for.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of, that the air was let out of my bag, per se.
Yeah.
Last week, yeah, when the Bucks lost.
Yeah.
Because I've never seen them
live.
Yeah. I mean, I might get to.
I've been spoiled. I got to watch, like, multi-man matches where it was, like, Cody, Adam, and the Bucks.
Yeah, so you got to see this, and you got to meet all these guys. Well, yeah. One, I'm a family man. I ain't got the funds.
Well, believe me, I'm feeling that myself.
And two, I work, like, 70 hours a week, so it sucks.
Right. But I think you'll get to see him.
I hope in some kind of form I get to.
But yeah, that's my big critique with them as well. So glad we agree on that. NXT, I think it just needs to be bigger, and I think like production wise, it needs to look bigger.
Yeah.
And I think that they can continue with what they're doing, but they're gonna have to start staging the shows different. You can't lead with a takeover show and then follow up with that, because it doesn't work the way that it did on the network. I know when a takeover happened that next week's NXT episode isn't necessarily filler, but it's lower card stuff that doesn't
they're
going to matter. Yeah. They just don't as much yet.
Their go home shows to the takeover are good. The takeover is good.
And
then the show later one's kind of like eh.
Yeah, and I appreciate the matches. Like I said, the wrestling was good. Gulak and Leo Rush.
Oh, that was great. It was
a good match. NXT Cruiserweight Championship, RIP 205 Live. The Walter and
Kushida
was good. And it was different. Like, I liked that.
It's a big size difference.
But when you have, and I hate to say this because people are going to be like, but he's Walter, and I get it. But when you have the segment that you had with the Undisputed Era and Ciampa and Velveteen Dream, that alone, that segment could have been your ending. Because the picture that Velveteen Dream did was shocking. Ciampa showing up and the way they left out of the ring and he was saying, Daddy's home. Mm-hmm. That could have ended the show.
That's how they used to end shows.
That's what I'm saying. Like that.
When it was network based?
Yeah. It was a little odd to me. But either way, let's move past NXT and AEW. Let's focus on, we're not going to talk about the draft yet. Let's focus on the new Friday Night SmackDown since the first and second episodes of that have aired. I'm going to head this up with, I thought when they first announced this deal that it was interesting, but going to be bad.
Yep.
I think I'm going to be proven right quicker than what I even anticipated. Because Friday nights are the worst times to have these shows.
Shouldn't they have learned that in the first place when they used to run it that way?
You would have thought. You would have thought, but apparently not. And
why is SmackDown always the show that bounces from day to day?
Why? Because it's not Raw, and despite them going to make SmackDown the flagship, that I knew when they were like, "Oh yeah, SmackDown's going to be the flagship show." I was like, "Not on a Friday."
No, your ratings would never hold up on a Friday.
We're okay. Week two, I didn't watch because I had something to do, mm-hmm. and it's the weekend, and so it's time to go do it. You know what I mean? Like
yep.
Families, you know, my fiance, that's her first of only 2 days off per week too. She wants, you know, she's not gonna want to sit at home and watch wrestling. And you know what, she's not even someone who doesn't like wrestling. She likes wrestling, but it's Friday.
Yeah.
So yeah, bad call there. Ratings are already reflecting it. They dropped 1 million viewers from week one to week two.
Yeah, but why?
But let's talk content of week one. SmackDown, the premiere, was not a good show, despite what you have had feelings for. Like, we'll discuss why, but I don't think it was a good show because it wasn't a wrestling show.
It wasn't supposed to be.
I know.
It's the same way.
But
it's the same as Crown Jewel.
But the whole point of SmackDown on Fox is we're more sports-oriented. We are going to be more about the in-ring competition. It's going to be felt like more of a sport. Okay, so then if you were going to do that, your ladder match, Kevin Owens and Shane, should have been more than spot-to-spot-to-spot finish.
It should have gave more time.
You should have had other matches that gave more time. You shouldn't have had the 8-man tag at all with that filler.
My thing is, why was it that when it was on USA, the show felt like it took forever? And when it was on Fox, that first episode felt like it was like done.
Because it was only 2 hours long.
The same as on USA, but it felt like it took forever.
Because you had moments that you were more invested in because you had The Rock.
Yeah.
And it felt big because of new stage, new lighting, the pyro's back, and all these other things.
Well, I didn't care to see The Rock anyways.
Yeah, well,
the ones I wanted to see was supposed to be there and weren't on there. And still haven't been on there.
Well, yeah, that's the other part of this. WWE really needs to stop advertising things that they don't do. They advertised and ran advertisements for weeks that Stone Cold, The Undertaker, Sting, all these people were going to be on the show. They weren't even there. Like, I mean, Sting was there. You saw him on the blue carpet.
Yeah.
But that was it. Taker was, he responded to somebody on, I think, Instagram and said he was told he wasn't needed.
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't even there. And it's like...
And all they did was show Hogan and Flair in the crowd, same with Mark Henry and Goldberg.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why are they there?
It was...
Now, Hogan and Flair understood because the two captains of their teams were going against each other. But... Why? Why was Mark Henry there? Why'd you have to show him? Why'd you have to show Goldberg? It didn't make any sense to me, and I don't know. I think I was just so built up that I was going to see Taker and Sting maybe have that face-to-face.
Yeah.
And was let down.
Yep. I'm with you. But it's... That's what I'm getting at, is like... They do this all the time. I'm pretty sure, like, half a year ago, somebody put out statistics on how often WWE advertised something and how much it actually happens. And I think it's at, like, less than a third. Less than a third of the advertisements are legit in WWE. Oh, this is your main event match of the night. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, this person's going to be here. No, it's not. They even did it this past week on Raw. I'm about to spoil this for you before we get to the Raw talk, but I'm going to tell you. The Street Profits were supposed to fight. They did a whole segment where they got jumped by the OC in the back. Street Profits then are in another segment where they're going to have their match in a six-man tag against the OC. And it just never happened. It's like they just forgot about it.
They ran out of time.
Yeah. And it's like, really?
It feels like Tony Schiavone was there. We're desperately out of time. We'll see you next week on Monday Night Nitro. And I only didn't even watch WCW, and I remember that.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, you got a 3-hour show, and you're going to advertise that, but you're not going to show it. No, let's fill it up with the war room for the draft.
Yeah, and how cheap and generic and shitty looking is that?
Actually use people. Like, you have a whole writing staff. You have Heyman. You have all them guys back there. You're already releasing information on Twitter about shit. Then why not have them guys actually sit in a war room?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm segueing into the next topic.
Yeah, the draft.
No.
Oh.
When I talk about have them sitting in the war room. We're going there right now because I really want to talk about it. We're talking about Bischoff. And I don't care about the other news. I want to talk about this.
Well, we have to talk about the other news.
We'll get there, but I want to get to this. I'm happy. I know other people ain't. I like Pritchard. I've listened to Pritchard since day one on his podcast. And the man was really behind some great storylines. Not saying Bischoff wasn't back in his WCW days. But the only takeaway from it, don't move the man across country just to get rid of him for a cup of tea.
You know what that was, right?
What?
That was Vince getting one more over on WCW. Oh, my
God. Here we go.
He said, I got you out here. I'm going to not tell you what your responsibilities are so that the reports come out that you spend most of your time in catering.
I moved you from Wyoming in your peace and quiet to Stamford, Connecticut just to get you, pal.
You're fired. That's
nope,
a rib.
Nope. You're fired.
That's a rib, bud. That's a rib.
Pal.
Yeah.
God damn it, I love it.
But yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think Pritchard's going to be great as SmackDown.
Even. And Samoa Joe looks like a guy who has an office job.
We're not watching. Stop.
Who doesn't want to be working in the office that he's in.
Okay, guys.
He looks very uncomfortable in a suit and tie.
Inside Baseball, Raw is on the TV right now from this past Monday, actually. And I just have it on.
Doesn't he look like he comes to the job?
Stop watching.
He doesn't iron his shirt because he just doesn't give a shit. He's like me at my last job.
Why does this guy right here look like the old guy from Dragon Ball Z right behind Jeff?
Master Roshi?
Yes. His nose is going to start bleeding any minute.
All right, anyways.
Anyways, we're going to get back to like when we watched Bash at the Beach 2000, if we keep watching this.
All right, so...
But Pritchard, I think, is going to do good. In a way, I think him and Heyman should flip-flop, because Heyman is a really big sports guy, and Raw is more of a storyline base, if they want to do storylines. Probably not, but, you know. So that's why I see Pritchard better as on Raw than I would SmackDown.
Yeah.
As long as you don't bring a gun to SmackDown again this time. And get fired. We don't need that to happen. I know you probably don't know that story, do you?
No.
Pritchard had a gun that he bought and couldn't get it through airport security. So he had to bring it with him to the arena, and someone heard that he had a gun. And it got to Vince, and it got big talk of the town about it.
Oh. Okay.
So.
Well... Here's my stance on it. I don't give a fuck.
Of course not.
No, no, like, this is what I said in our last episode. I'm just going to be more real about it and more honest. Vince Russo needs to stay the fuck away from wrestling.
He's just fucking salty.
No, listen. Vince Russo needs to stay the fuck away from wrestling. He did enough damage. I was a WCW person. There is a part of me that, like, oh, Eric Bischoff? Yeah, I'd meet Eric Bischoff, right? Like, yeah. if he was somewhere I was, like, yeah, I'd be like, holy shit, Eric Bischoff. Like, that's cool. But after TNA, I don't want Eric Bischoff in wrestling, in any kind of role where he gets to make those decisions. The way that I took his role on Fox was they put him in for something like that, but he had a check and balances. Then it just kind of fell to him doing nothing. But I didn't want him on screen. I didn't want him to have the power he had in TNA because for those of you who haven't been in the realm of this podcast or the previous one I used to do, I desperately hate Hogan and Bischoff for what they did to TNA when they came in. In my opinion, it was absolutely ruined. I went on a drunk rant about this before and cussing off Dixie Carter for it and
you
everything.
You have this podcast somewhere?
It's a video that exists somewhere.
Oh my God. Can we please find this and post it on the page?
Maybe.
Y'all, come on. Throwback Thursday.
Maybe. We have to pull some stuff out of the RSW vault.
But don't want to do that.
We could do that. Yeah, okay. Like, I was the host. Like, me, the professor, the Hater Headlocks, we were the hosts of that show. And I think we had Starkdust with us
on
that.
Was this your weekend update kind of
thing? Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Was this pregame before a Ring of Honor show?
No. Oh, I God. Just, I knew I was going to talk about it, so I drank during the episode to talk about it. Because I knew I was going to be fired up. And I'm already starting to get that way now. But that's what I'm saying. Who gives a fuck? My thoughts are Pritchard coming in. Give him the same shot you give Bischoff. Let's see what happens. I'm going to tell you, based off the good and the bad that I've heard and know about him, I don't have faith that it's going to do anything better. I think part of it, though, isn't to blame on him. I think it is just the slot. No matter who steps in, it's not going to do better. I hate this for him because I think it could end up costing him his job, but it wouldn't be his fault. That being said, when it comes to him, I'm 50-50. Like, I'm impartial either way. I have nothing insanely against him, but I don't have anything really for him either.
I just hate
Bischoff. He admitted himself that he doesn't keep up with the product. Why would you bring someone in?
I just hate that everybody's like, what did Pritchard do for the business? Motherfucker gave you Kane. Like, really?
The best big man in wrestling.
And you know what I think?
Fight me on that.
I'm not gonna fight you for it. But you know what? To Pritchard, Caps off, buddy.
Well, congratulations to that. Eric, sorry about your luck. Go back. Wish I had another one to be James Storm just for the whole TNA. Fuck you. Sorry about your damn luck.
Go back to Wyoming.
Yeah, going back to Wyoming. Go produce a TV show that doesn't have anything to do with wrestling and stay the fuck away from AEW.
Go back to producing Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, whatever. Anyways, away from that.
Just don't go to Atlanta.
Yeah, don't do that either. We'll talk about that in a second, too. That's still in the realm of news for all this. And part of me I haven't done my job, but we'll get to it. Anyways, we're back on SmackDown and Raw, the draft. Oh, you know something that we didn't talk about on the episode one of SmackDown? Cain Velasquez.
We didn't talk about it because we recorded this before SmackDown.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said. We didn't talk about it. So, Cain Velasquez, thoughts?
Yeah. I liked it. I like. I seen this stuff after he debuted for AAA. Some bitch can move.
Oh yeah, I watched that match, but
I mean, it's kind of a weird timing, not in a way.
Weird time, weird pace. It's just, I don't give a shit.
Can I say something funny?
What?
The same time that Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar are fighting. It's the same time Stephen Bonner is coming back to fight Moose with Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
It's just...
And Ken Shamrock was coming back to fight Moose before all this.
I know.
Like Impact had this ahead of them. I'm going to get onto this bigger thing, but I want you to hear that narrative when I said, I don't give a shit. Okay?
Okay.
You're probably going to hear that. You've already heard it about something else, but you're going to hear it about this. I don't give a shit about that at all. Cool. He's here. I know he can wrestle, so... Well, at least more than...
But the thing is...
More than what normal MMA people coming in can do.
Casual people don't... Not casual. People that are not watching anything other than, you know, the mainstream stuff, don't know who he is or what he's done. Like... Nobody's going to know Triple A unless you're a casual.
You mean into it?
Yeah, into it.
Well, but they see the MMA fighter, the casuals. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that in just a second. The thing that I wanted to stress, let's move now to the draft. Okay? What do you think about the draft?
Shit.
All awful. And you know how long that wild card rule lasted?
A day?
5 days. Because guess what happened? That big blockbuster trade that was supposed to happen, I'm pretty sure they just keep changing their minds on what the fuck they're doing already.
Yeah, did you not see last night after the baseball game?
The backstage?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I saw what happened. That's what I'm saying. It was announced ahead of time that it was a huge blockbuster trade, and they kept talking about this blockbuster trade. While the draft's still going on, they're talking about a trade. And, oh, you gotta watch this to find out. And then it's just Triple H being like, yeah, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross going back to SmackDown.
Yeah.
And, oh, future trades are possible now with Raw. It's the wild card rule. And it's already fucking back. And that is not what Fox wanted. That is not what we wanted. That's not what anybody fucking wanted.
They're going to end up losing the Fox deal because Vince can't make up his mind what he wants to do. He can't. There's too many Indians, not enough Chiefs. And he wants to be his hand in the pot for everything.
It's dumb. I think this is because they sent Charlotte to Raw when she was so heavily advertised for SmackDown. And I know... Now, just hear me out. I know people will say, oh, well, you know, couples... That's why they moved them, and I understand that, and you don't want people to be upset and whatever. Guess what? If you'd have had Aleister Black, Andrade, and Zelina with Charlotte on SmackDown, everyone would have probably liked it better, because if it's supposed to be the more sports-oriented show, Aleister Black and Andrade can wrestle really well. So it would have fit even better. So who cares? Shit. I don't know why you wanted Charlotte on Raw, but...
You know, watching this Raw and watching these past couple weeks, does it feel like there's not much women talent?
No,
touch on it real fast.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about it.
I feel like
it's not that there's not women talent. It's that they don't utilize their women properly. The only people that you know on the main roster are the four horsewomen.
Yeah,
Alexa and Nikki, and slight Kabuki Warriors. You know the Iconics because of their antics, yes. But that's it. But see, and here's why.
Like 2 years ago, it was like.
Oh, and you have Natty and Lacey, but no one gives a shit because you put the same match on for nine times.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, it felt like 2 years ago, you had the Four Horsewomen, you had the Riot Squad, you had the Bellas, you had.
Don't get me started on that.
I'm just saying they were there. You had Natty, you had Naomi, you had Carmella, you had Nia, you had Ronda, you had all of these women, but then they main evented WrestleMania.
So what happened is when. We started just crossing over shows and putting belts together back at Mania. You lost a lot of your depth because you put all your eggs in one basket with three women. Then one of those women left. So then you've got to build back up the others. Another one of your big women leaves after Mania, Sasha.
Yeah.
So you're left with three horsewomen, and you can cross people over, but you've buried pretty much everyone else or not made them feel important. And another big person like Nia got hurt at that time. So, yeah, you just didn't...
And Ruby's hurt.
Yeah, but... What I'm saying is they did not capitalize where they had it. When talent could start showing up on other shows, we can just push Becky out there.
Where's Sarah Logan?
Oh, we could just push Charlotte out there. She's been working main event when she's working.
Where's Liv?
She...
Everybody keeps talking about her going through a gimmick change.
Yeah, because she lost when we first separated the rosters, and she's like, when I come back...
Yeah.
I'll be the real me. And it's like, okay, what the hell was that? And then we've never seen her since. And she got drafted. You didn't see this, but she was the final pick on Raw to come to Raw. So hopefully we'll see her soon. But it's just the whole point of like...
What can you watch the main event in them on? The network?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think so.
Because that's where Ryder and all of them are.
Yep. But now, so let me get back to they just need to build their women's roster better. They've got the talent. They just don't utilize it.
They put no faces on SmackDown.
Yep. Oh, no. We have a face now. The end of Raw, we had our face. And now we got two faces. Three faces.
Women?
Yeah. Oh, Lacey Evans is a good guy now.
Oh. But,
and then Alexa and Nikki are now good guys.
Maybe they caught on to thinking, oh shit, all we have is two heel women on here. Who are we going to have fight each other and which one are we going to make a face?
It's dumb. Anyway.
Not as dumb as that.
We'll get to it. Anyways, the draft. You didn't really change a whole lot either.
No, you just kind of said, okay, we'll put you in a basket and here you
go. No, it wasn't even that. We want to move about 10 people. Let's have a whole draft and keep people where they're actually supposed to be and move these 10 people that we wanted to move.
Yeah.
Like.
Then we'll keep everybody, the other ones, free agent and just kind of like, where are we going to put you at?
It.
Like Cesaro. Hawkins and Ryder. No way, Jose.
You know what I really wish they would have done?
What?
What would have been great? Had it be completely random. Have a women's pool and a men's pool. Even if you wanted to use the old cliche of having the balls. And
the bingo ball roller?
Have it so that someone pulled out a name for the men and the women, one man, one woman, but by proration, of course, because not as much when women the, as the men. But you know what I'm saying. Have them out and then pop it open and be like, oh, shit, well, Brock Lesnar's on SmackDown now. Literally let it be that random.
I loved it when they first did the draft and nobody knew where they were going. And, like, the guys were legitimately pissed. Like, Taker, when he got drafted, he was pissed.
Yeah.
He's like, why the hell am I going to SmackDown? And that's when Taker on SmackDown was born.
Yep.
So you train thought?
No, I'm good. So, the draft was just... Man.
It was so disappointing. It was hyped up to be let down.
There are two good things that came out of the draft, and they weren't even draft-related things. It was just those two shows. You want to know what they were?
What's that?
Bayley turning heel, full-fledged.
Yeah. Except for I really full-fledged. I don't care for the haircut.
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
I got a thing for...
Yeah, your woman's got that.
Yeah, I know. The haircut, man.
The
I don't
bob.
Know. Yeah, I don't know. You got attitude, I guess.
She's got the Karen cut.
No, that's not a Karen.
That's a Karen.
That's girl. Not a Karen.
That's a Karen.
Her haircut is not a Karen
it's
haircut.
It's a Karen.
Nah.
It's a let me talk to your manager cut.
Nah.
Yes, it is.
Maybe if it was blonde.
No. Yeah. I see more black-haired Karens than I do blondes. Blondes are just like spikes.
Anyway, yeah, whatever.
It's
anyways,
Karen. It's a Karen.
Anyways, was Bayley turning full-fledged heel, and was the Viking Raiders winning the tag team titles?
They only did that so Rude and Ziggler go to SmackDown.
I am very afraid, though, that they're already going to lose them.
Really?
Did you not hear about the promo?
No. Oh, the Ring of Honor? But WWE posted
They said, we are the only tag team to have won the Ring of Honor, the New Japan, or no, IWGP, the NXT, and the Raw tag team titles.
But then WWE posted the same thing.
I know, but I just, when they first said it, I was like, shit, Vince is like,
But they use Ring of Honor video on the network.
I know, but it's when they do it, it's okay. But if you do it, you're in business for yourself, and then you get fucking Zack Ryder'd.
You push off a stage by Kane?
In a wheelchair.
I love Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins.
I'm a big broski.
Yeah, but he don't talk to you on Twitter.
He used to follow me on Twitter. Thank you very much.
We talk. So there, and you have the screenshots.
Anyways, so let me continue.
Go ahead.
Those are the best things that happened in the draft. Everything else didn't fucking matter. It was shit. I don't give a shit. Yep. There's that phrase again. I don't give a shit.
Shirts.
Now, let me explain what the bigger picture of it all is. And then I'll get into some details on Raw, okay?
Okay.
Bigger picture. If you... WWE, first and foremost, is alienating their own viewers by continuously reaching out to the casual fan. Their crown jewel event is a boxer versus Braun, and two former, I know one was a wrestler first, but essentially two former MMA fighters who fought in a UFC title match for a WWE title when one of them has never had a WWE match, period. The boxer hasn't had a WWE match, period. I get those special moments and fights, but you have your two biggest matches on a card feature people who more people know outside of WWE. You're a wrestling company. Stick to fucking wrestling. Also, my next point in this is the reaching out to the casual fan. You make every Monday and Friday feel like it's either all brand new or we're going to repeat some things so that the casual fan gets it. But I've got news for you. People are stupid, yes, but there are people, if they're invested into a show, to watch it 2 weeks in a row, if they see the same thing twice and it's the same exact way, they themselves are going to be like, why'd they do this again? That's why there's continuity. You've got the best video package team in the fucking world. You know what? If it's video packages, quick, like, minute-long video packages before a match, I don't want replays and replays and replays, but if it's quick little things, hey, here's what you need to know before this match starts, then okay. I could deal with that better than I can what they're doing. They are literally killing my interest in both shows. Wednesday nights is where it's at when it comes to bigger productions. And now Tuesday nights is where I'm heading to because of NWA Power, which their first episode was great. We could talk more about that. And AEW Dark. But Raw and SmackDown have a real problem right now. They are really just fucking over the people that normally watch them. In my opinion. Do you agree, disagree?
Crown Jewel is just a spectacle. It's...
Well, I'm just talking about the normal weekly shows,
I know,
too.
But I'm going back to where you started.
Okay. Yeah.
Crown Jewel is just a spectacle. I had to talk about this with somebody. Long talk about it, actually. Whatever Saudi Arabia's going to pay is what they're going to get. Crown Jewel is not for us hardcore fans. It's for a casual fan to see stuff that they wanted to see over there. So, storylines are not going to continue over there at all. It's not a storyline show.
Yeah.
It's a spectacle. It's all it is. It's not blow-offs. It's not the start of a new feud. Nothing like that. It's just a spectacle. Wednesday nights are better than Raw and SmackDown. And Tuesday nights is going to be for Impact. Like last night, they had an Impact Wrestling marathon all night long. And that's where it's at. I mean, yes,
we got the shake now.
The washing machine shake in the living room. But I don't really care much for NWA. Sorry, I said it.
You didn't like it?
I'm not an old school guy.
I didn't watch the old school stuff, but I appreciated it. I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. So I haven't watched last night's episode, but I'm going to be watching it probably tomorrow.
It's the only thing I dread about in 2 weeks on Wednesday.
What?
Is riding in the car with the professor and the hater of headlocks and me just be like, I don't like NWA. I kind of want the front seat so I don't get thrown out the back seat.
Everybody can have each their own, man.
Because then they're going to dog me for my deathmatch stuff. I can hear the professor now. Oh, what do you do for that? Get a hot dog, get a hit, chick? You know how he is.
I don't know
what he is. Alan's going to have his little tablet of Blue Chew in his pocket for when Kenny comes out. He's going to pop his Blue Chew in.
Nah, Alan doesn't need Blue Chew for Kenny.
He's H-A-R-D.
He's got a picture with him and
that's
almost,
all he needs.
Almost lost his words.
Wow. He's H-A-R-D all day.
Anyways, I'm just excited to get to go. But, yeah. All right. So, I really do feel like Raw and SmackDown, though, they've lost me pretty much at this point.
Yeah.
Wednesdays is where I'm at, and that's pretty much, yeah. Like, that's my main focus right now, and that sucks, but it's truth. It's damn true.
Let's wrap up on the news.
We'll just chime in. Rusev, Lashley, Lana, stupid.
Gay. Oh, no, the shit. Sorry. Didn't mean that.
And actually, it's not, because Lashley's not trying to be with Rusev.
13-year-old me with that phrase just came out like... It just came out, and LBJ's just like, did he really just say that, like, out of nowhere? Did he just really go gay? Like...
Yeah, but it's really not, or else Lashley would have been filling up Rusev's leg last night.
But you know, 13-year-old used gay for anything, for stupid or whatever.
Because we were all uneducated, idiots. Yes.
It just came out of nowhere. I'm glad we could laugh about that.
Yeah, but no.
I'm not against anything.
WWE could have pushed the envelope on the progressiveness, and we could have had Rusev in a towel and Lashley come over and raise it up and be like,
oh, that's just way too much men.
And then Lana be like mad in the ring because...
Yeah! I'm going for Ziggler again.
Actually, you know what? I'd have preferred that storyline over this one we got. I'm going to be honest with you. I would have preferred Rusev being like, I found what I was really looking for. Like,
your titties ain't as big as Lashley's.
But then that would have meant that Lana was in a main event match with Seth Rollins.
Oh, God.
Could you imagine that moment on the stage?
It might have been good. Yeah. It might have been a better match than what we got.
Oh, God. Anyways. Damn. We just kind of threw ourselves off the rail there.
Damn 13-year-old me.
Anyways. So, coming back to this. Bring him back. The end of Raw, I want to talk about, and then
this week's?
We'll just wrap it up. Yeah.
Okay.
So, do you know what happened yet? Have you paid attention?
Seth died.
Went
to the firefighter house.
No. All right. So, I'm just gonna tell you this. I'm gonna tell you what happened. All right. Okay. Seth says at the beginning of Raw that he's going fiend hunting.
Yes. I must say.
The very end of Raw, we get Firefly Funhouse. Bray is talking to Ramblin' Rabbit.
God, I love Ramblin' Rabbit.
All of a sudden, Seth shows up. Seth beats down Bray. Starts ripping the stuff off the walls, the pictures.
Yep.
Bray gets up, and Bray looks him dead in the face. And I love this about Bray, but we'll talk evaluation in a minute. But Bray looks at him as innocent as can be and said, Seth, why are you doing this? Please don't hurt me. And Seth hits him and, like, lays him out again and then gets in front of the table and does the whole dumbass cliche, burn it down. Which, by the way, was never a Seth Rollins thing. It started because of a fucking video game. And for some reason, someone's like, yeah, that's marketable and that's his thing.
Yeah.
I don't get it. That was not his thing. But then he lights the table on fire and sets the Firefly Funhouse on fire.
Can I ask one question?
What?
Why does everybody got to burn Bray's stuff? Like, really? They burn his home.
Yeah.
They burn his Mr. Rogers' neighborhood house, and he got nothing.
Yeah. But, like, so...
Wow. Them are some shitty-ass work punches,
so
sir.
So, what I'm going to say is I appreciated Bray's character. Because Bray and the Fiend are different people. And
Bray,
so
Bray carries this segment.
But Bray even says, like, I like you, Seth. Like, he says that every Firefly Funhouse, but it's the Fiend. And then Seth goes off on him still. After he's like, why are you hurting me? Don't hurt me. Like, why are you doing this, you know?
Yeah.
But, so that is the good thing. This whole segment sucks, and I'll tell you a few reasons why, and I'm pissed off about it.
Well, it sucks.
I'm super pissed off about it.
Who's heel? Who's face?
That is one layer of this. Here is why I'm pissed. Here's reason number one I'm pissed off. I have believed, based on what we've watched, that Firefly Funhouse is a place in Bray's head. That it's not a real environment. That's why Ramblin' Rabbit keeps coming the fuck back. So, Seth to show up there means it's a real area now.
Yeah.
You've ruined that illusion. Okay? So that really sucks. I hate that, first and foremost. The next thing, your face and your heel, as you just said. The Fiend is supposed to be a heel, but he got over because he's cool and he's different. That doesn't mean you have to make him a face.
And it's Bray.
But you're using Seth in all the ways that the fans don't want you to use Seth.
Yep.
So you're making the Fiend a face while you're making your face a dick. Not even a heel, a dick. And what makes this worse is the fans are booing the shit out of your champion.
Yep.
And you're just pushing the envelope on it more. You're just making things worse, and you really need to stop while you're ahead, because look at the damage that you're doing, and you're making people... You're hurting the Fiend by doing this, but you're also hurting your champ by doing this. No one comes out of this a winner. Just leave it alone and be done with it, but guess what? You're not going to do that, and I'll get to this now. My next thing, they're not going to do that. They announced on Raw, Crown Jewel, as they start running down the card, we magically got Ricochet on Team Hogan and Bobby Lashley and...
Bobby Lashley, you kind of guessed, would be on there.
But there's another person, too.
Baron Corbin?
But he was already there. Orton's there. Who's the fourth person? I can't remember at the moment, but either way... You just have random people that got added with no storyline development there. And then they say, but all Rollins is going to be... But will he have enough energy as he's going to be pulling double duty as he's defending the Universal title in a Falls Count Anywhere match against The Fiend? Don't have them fucking face each other.
They're on two different brands now. You know who's going to lose?
My whole point. My whole fucking point.
It makes no sense.
And what is my point again? I quit watching NXT for the longest time because we started realizing that the storylines don't matter in NXT when they come to Raw and stuff. But now NXT is on the same network, so storylines do matter on NXT. So I'm fine with NXT.
Yeah.
But now you're making me not give a shit about Raw and SmackDown because anything that I like, you're going to ruin. Like, I see this, and I hate to say it this way, but I see how it was with some fans, like, super fans of indie stuff. Like, I see, like, the Professor and the Hater of Headlocks when they really like Keith Lee and stuff, and right now, they've done nothing wrong with Keith Lee, and they need to keep giving them a chance and watch it. But I see, because of how many things they have done wrong and mess with people, why they have that bias, because now I'm starting to establish that bias from WWE to WWE. Yeah. Let alone the indie stuff.
Yep.
And it's like,
yep.
All right, so NXT's my show now.
But see, you never did that stuff with Stone Cold when he was coming. You never buried him.
No.
you know, that's the thing. I think The Fiend should never been in that championship match at Hell in a Cell.
No. If you weren't going to give him the belt immediately by doing that, then you shouldn't have had it.
Nope.
You could have had him show up at the end of it and attack whoever was standing. And then when it's like, oh, Seth and The Fiend, you didn't have to make it a title match. They had plenty of feuds that people were champions, but the belt wasn't on the line because it wasn't about the belt.
It's about the feud.
It was about the story. It was about the reason. Why did you attack me? I'm not here after your gold. I'm here after you because I'm out for blood. I could give a damn about the belt right now.
And you're just going to bury him further unless he walks out that title.
Well, now he's already buried, in my opinion. The highest and most popular and most talked about thing on Raw for months.
Yep.
You just had the face ruin it and burn it.
And you just basically made one episode of Raw all about him. Like, with the screen being upside down and the Fiend flashing in between stuff. And
yep. And now the Fiend is on SmackDown.
Which is terrible.
Which is also supposed to be the sports-oriented show. How does that work?
Wait.
What?
Just had an epiphany while staring at the ceiling fan.
What?
Do you think this Bischoff thing happened, was in the works before it happened yesterday?
I don't know.
Because Pritchard's been talking about for months how he wanted to work with Bray Wyatt.
But that doesn't matter. The bigger picture here is if those two want to work together, that's fine.
Yeah.
But the problem is, exactly, and that's what Fox wanted.
I know.
At the end of the day, it's what Fox wants.
Yeah.
And I feel like Vince is fucking them already. Vince got his money and ran. And I feel like that's going to hurt them a lot.
They're going to end up back on some shitty ass network like UPN or something, because I feel like they're going to
get a bad rep on Fox. USA is going to be like, nah, you left us.
Exactly.
Like, we got your other two shows and we'll keep them, but we're not bringing back SmackDown on it.
Yeah. So therefore, they're going to go on a shitty network like they did with UPN, and it's going to take them years to get back on USA.
When, for argument's sake, the minute that we splitted the shows the very first time in 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
SmackDown Live was the best show that they had going for like 5 months.
Right? Had the best matches. It had more matches, less dialogue on it.
Yep. You had it at its peak, and then you threw that all away.
For what? Nothing.
Yeah. Because you could. And I know that sounds very sour and very bitter, but I don't give a shit. That's what I'm saying. I don't give a shit about Raw. I don't give a shit about SmackDown anymore. I care about a lot of people. I used to be this person that, like, I wanted to see everybody do well because I care about them and I want to see it. I still care about people like AJ and stuff, but now I'm to the point with AJ where I'm like, I know AJ's going to retire at the end of this contract. I hope they send him out well. In the meantime, they're not going to do anything meaningful with him. And, oh well, I guess that's that. Seth Rollins. I used to be a huge Seth Rollins fan. Now I can't stand him.
Now he's basically the Roman.
I didn't even care that he is the Roman. I liked Seth because of his ability, but his own personality or company-backed personality
has
ruined me on him. And then the way that they write him in the show makes it worse. It's just, it's bad. It's all bad. It's not worth my time as a wrestling show. And this is the other thing. This is the other takeaway. As someone who's watching it for matches. They had good matches on Raw. Buddy Murphy and Cedric Alexander, I thought was a really good match.
Should be sports-oriented.
Andrade and Mustafa Ali.
Sports-oriented.
They had really good matches. But the show overall was so terrible that I didn't fucking care about their matches. I think
it's so long it makes it terrible.
But how can you make it so that you can put on good matches and I don't care?
Because you're already in your mindset that you don't care.
Well, you've given me enough shit that I'm just oh my god, oh my god, oh my god. So therefore, when you
see a good match,
you're I'm like, oh, cool.
That was a good match, but this is still a shitty ass show.
Yeah.
Because it only takes that one segment for all of that to go into the shitter.
And 70% of your segments were that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it... I hope it changes, but, like, I do believe if regular... casual fans start picking up on NXT and vicariously through AEW because it's still hardcore fans right now on that. I think Wednesday's going to be your most important day of the week, not just for the hardcore fan, but for every fan. And I think Raw and SmackDown's going to suffer a lot if that happens, if the casual fan picks up. It is, but... I think I'm really tired of suffering through it.
Yeah. I don't want to have to suffer through something just so we have material for a podcast.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't do it either. That's why that's why with this whole new format of stuff, we've had these two with news because this is a catch-up, but like we've got the watch-alongs and the what-ifs and stuff because we have plenty of things we'd love to talk about in wrestling that excite us. We don't need to just keep up on things that are shit, you know?
I would almost like to be a podcast where we don't talk about current shit.
Yeah, you have to an extent. But now we're getting meta? We're getting meta and inside baseball, as you put it earlier on that. But,
what do you mean?
Like, talking about format and everything. Yeah. Anyways, that's that.
We got a poll coming up.
Let's end something on a high note before we tell them that news.
Okay.
High note. NWA Power, despite what the Birdman thinks, was really good. AEW Dark, episode 1, was really good. Both episodes, or both second episodes, are out on YouTube right now. I have not got to watch them yet. I've not heard anything bad, though. So... if Wednesday night is your number one night, I think Tuesday night on YouTube might end up being a lot of people's second. So, definitely check them out if you haven't. They're definitely, AEW Dark is, I mean, Dynamite, but with, I don't want to call them the B team, but it's the stars to be established. And actually, not even with some of them, Young Bucks were on this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's just the show, so watch it. NWA Power is a throwback to the old studio ways of doing stuff. The older fans can appreciate that. New fans who have never seen it, give it an episode to experience how it is. It's very different, and I enjoyed it. I actually really enjoyed it, and I had never watched that stuff. Really, so
I watched the first episode. I just don't like the old school feel,
right? And so. And that's to each their own, but it's worth a shot to try it out.
I gave it a shot. I watched the first episode.
Now we'll dive into some 2K stuff real quick.
Yes.
Uproar?
Yes.
Uproar is going to be tomorrow. Well, actually Tremor is going to be tomorrow. Uproar is going to be Sunday.
The last week's happened.
Uproar did. Tremor didn't because I was trying to find a place. Facebook. LBJ Games.
Where the fuck was I at? I don't even remember this. I think I even watched like a part of it and I just don't remember what happened.
We have a number one contenders match on Tremor tomorrow. Lynn versus Teddy.
I'm in this shit, and I don't even
know. Because you both qualified in handicap matches. You beat the handicap match.
How did I win? I don't remember.
Oh,
I had a concussion.
you might not be able to compete. Now, nefarious means, as always, you got outside the ring,
beat down
Macho Marshall off the announce table and stuff, threw him into the ring post, crawled back in before the count of 10.
Nice.
You got a count out win.
Oh, how'd Lynn win?
By winning.
Oh, good for him.
He pinned the IC champ.
Oh, well, good for him.
Right in front of the world champ.
Well, I guess if he loses to me, he can always get fucked with the IC title.
Anyway, so you two are facing off, number one contenders match. We'll have some more stuff going there. Warmaster and Awesome Bob won their match. So they are new number one contenders against the IWS. Young and Beautiful cannot compete for the tag team titles as long as the IWS holds them now. After Beautiful BJ lost a steel cage match against the Professor. So Young and Beautiful has a new path. Anyways, lots going on. Check it out tomorrow. It'll be on LBJ Games on Facebook. It'll be on the Run the Ropes page. I'll share it over there. So it'll be live. You can comment. You can talk there.
Sorry I wasn't following. I thought the fuck happened.
You just kind of slipped for a minute, I guess.
I did.
The Uproar episode will be Sunday. I'm still trying to adjust where I'm putting stuff now because of the wrestling schedule being weird. And also, with 2K20 looking like it's about to be a dud...
I see a lot of bad things.
Like graphics and stuff. I think we might extend Season 1 a little bit. I will make a formal announcement when I get it figured out. Extend it a little bit. Maybe like end it in December at the beginning. Then at the end of January for Season 2, we're still going to use 19 until I see that all the bugs and everything are worked out. Then we upgrade to 20. If not, we'll do Season 2 and 19 too and wait for 21.
That's fine with me.
Because I would rather it look better than what it does for a few extra little features.
All the gameplay things that the Instagram shares says it looks good, but then I've seen pictures people posting and they look like shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what happened to that?
It's real rough. You're right.
And you figure this game should be done by now.
You're right, and they're not going to delay it.
It should be done.
Yep. There's not even a creative championship mode. They're going to patch it in later. So I couldn't even work on Season 2. Yeah.
But they had to put the Bump in the Night storyline in there, though.
Yeah. That's why I said there were some features that look cool, but it's not going to be worth going, you know?
Until they work the bugs.
Anyways, so I'll make a formal announcement on that. But anyways, Uproar tomorrow. This podcast might be out tomorrow to match up for that. Because it's Wednesday, and it's going to be Thursday. So, I'm going to see what all I can do to make that happen. It shouldn't be that bad. Anyways, we're getting meta and inside baseball again. Dynamite is about to start. We're going to go ahead and get the hell out of here. We hope you all have had a good week, and hope you continue to have one. And I hope that Dynamite and NXT is good again tonight. Any parting...
We'll be posting a poll tomorrow night on next week's podcast. We are going to do our first watch-along, and it's going to be of Halloween Havoc for Halloween coming up, of course.
Yeah, you're jumping the gun. I thought we were voting on this.
I said post a poll.
Oh.
It's going to be Halloween Havocs, though.
Oh, we're voting for four Halloween Havocs.
Yes, years, not... We'll do that later.
I don't know which two I'm suggesting.
I'm going with 97 is one of mine.
Okay. Well, I'm going with 98 as one of mine.
Okay.
All right. So.
Okay. Yeah. There's two. But other than that, we'll get two more, and I'll post that probably tomorrow night after LBJ thinks about what he wants. And then we will post that up and everybody vote, and we'll do a watch-along.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a run-in from the wife to do a countdown for us.
Okay.
You know, like 3-2-1 play? We just be like, hey, guys, all right, start now.
Oh. I don't know.
God damn it, you need to listen to Shimani's podcast. Jesus Christ.
All right, guys. As always, thank you for running with us, and we will catch you next week.
Bye.